Make that hand louder for Jesus. If you're clapping for Jesus, make it louder. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven and give him praise tonight. Worship the God of heaven tonight. The God that has preserved you and brought you to his presence this night. Give him praise. Give him honor. Thank him once again for how far he has led us in this service. Give him honor. Worship him. He is worthy. Father, we say thank you. Now ask for a word for you. At this time, God is ready to speak to his people. Ask for that same good word that will come to you, that will change your circumstances. Ask that God speaks to you, that your ears will be open to hear him as he speaks. Father, we say thank you. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Let's put our hands together for Jesus and have your seats, please. I just want to thank God tonight for the opportunity to bring God's word to his people. It is a rare privilege, and I'm not taking it for granted, Father. I want to also appreciate our Father in the house, the resident pastor, for extending an arm of grace to me. My prayer tonight is that the same unction and anointing upon his life will find expression in my life, and every single one of us will be blessed in the name of Jesus. We're going to journey through the word of God tonight, and God has a lot in store for his people. And as we do so, I'd like to just take us a little bit back through a recap of what we've been learning on in our midweek services, and I'll be very quick about it. This month of March, the theme has been Biblical Covenant Empowers for Wealth. Biblical Covenant Empowers for Wealth. And our attention was drawn to that scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy father, as it is this day. The key word for me in that scripture is remember, which does not just mean knowing that God exists. It is also acknowledging him in all your financial dealings, in everything that you do. Praise the Lord. And giving him first place in your life. Now, having established that fact, let also remember that some of the things we learned in these past few Wednesdays, which the teaching title is titled, teaching series is titled Fundamentals of Kingdom Wealth. We were pointed to an icon when it comes to kingdom wealth, and that is our father Abraham. You see, no discussion of kingdom wealth can be complete without a reference of Abraham. In Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." I pause there because scripture is always very clear. It says, "Ye that follow after righteousness." So, as long as your foundation is righteousness, then you can continue reading. It says, "Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whom ye, from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye dig. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." Again, we're being pointed to the to where God started when it comes to individual and sworn blessings. And that's our father Abraham. So that scripture, apart from pointing us to the beginning of kingdom wealth, also made us understand that God blesses individuals, not groups. As you can see, he says, "I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree." Verse 14, "that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." That same promise, that same blessing that God bestowed on Abraham through Christ has become ours. Praise the Lord. That's just what that scripture is trying to tell us. And it was Christ that made it possible and allowed us to maintain that heritage of financial fortune in redemption. So, in redemption, for every child of God that has given their life to Christ, financial fortune is a part of your inheritance. Say amen if you hear that. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Again, I point to that last, the last phrase, that you, through Jesus Christ's poverty, might be rich. What we are saying is that God has made available everything that you need, but it's a might, because there is a part that you need to play. Praise the Lord. God is always faithful to do his own thing, and Christ has made it easier for us, but it's still a might, because believe it or not, there are still people who may not be interested in the kingdom wealth that we're talking about, but that shall not be you in the name of Jesus Christ. Apart from John 3:16, that scripture that we just read is another demonstration of God's sacrificial love. As you can see, Jesus Christ, in all his riches in heaven, left it and traded it for poverty just for you and I. Praise the Lord. In Revelation 5:12, our eyes were opened to the things that when we say kingdom wealth, what are the things that the Bible is talking about? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor, glory and wisdom. These are all the things that Christ made available to us. He traded and then made it available to us. But foundation is vital to the strength and lifespan of any building. Psalm 11 verse 3 was another scripture that we learned in the course of the week. When we talk about building, we're talking about you and I. We are God's building. Our foundation must be strong and enduring so that God can use us fully for the purpose for which he made us. Hallelujah. Psalm 11 verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? No building can stand the test of time without a solid foundation. God wants a building with a solid foundation of wealth around you. So if you and I are God's building, what God is saying is that he wants to build us solid. He wants us to have the foundation of kingdom wealth so that he can use us, so that we can be reliable partners with him. And what is the business in this partnership? It's the business of soul winning. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:39, the Bible made it clear. It said, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You and I are God's building. So it's a partnership. As God faithfully does his part, we're expected to do our part in building an edifice for his purpose. That shall be your life in the name of Jesus. And what are the building blocks for this building that God is talking about? It's the word of God. The building blocks are the word of God. Therefore, building on a sure foundation of the word is wisdom. Building on a sure foundation of the word of God is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5. Through wisdom a house is builded, and by understanding it's established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all pleasant riches. I'm taking time to go through these scriptures because it's important and somebody will be blessed. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Say, through wisdom a house is builded. Now, wisdom is domiciled in God and in the word of God. Understanding is what gives you access to this wisdom. Praise the Lord. And by understanding, you access the wisdom of God and your knowledge begins to build. The Bible says that it is that knowledge that you begin to decorate that house that God is building. In Matthew 7:24-25, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Every building represented and under the sound of my voice are buildings that are built on a rock and will not fall in the name of Jesus. Now that the groundwork has been laid, today we shall be dealing with part 6 of the teaching series that says fundamentals of kingdom wealth. On a good number of times, you know, during services, we've heard our father in the faith talk about his experiences with God. He went to God and said, Father, show me you know, the secret of kingdom wealth, kingdom prosperity. And we know that popular response that God gave. And God says, my kingdom wealth is not a promise. It does not answer to prayers. It has no respect for fasting. Until your part is done, I am not committed. And God is the same. He hasn't changed. The same thing he told our father in the faith is the same thing that he's telling every one of us. And as we pray, and my prayer tonight is that as we obey him, we shall see the blessings that our father has seen in the name of Jesus. Now, there are facts to note about the covenant of financial fortune. One is that how rich we are towards God will determine the dimension of prosperity we can ever walk in. Your riches towards God is what determines what kind of prosperity that you walk in. You know, there are degrees of everything. In other words, the quality of your relationship with God is what determines your accessibility to kingdom wealth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 7 to 8, 2 Corinthians 8, 7 to 8, Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth. In the New International Version of that scripture, he says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speeches, in wisdom, in complete earnestness, and earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see also that you excel in the grace of giving." So Paul was saying that your virtues, as good as they are, you also have to make sure that you thrive in giving. You thrive in giving. Now, after giving that admonition to the church in Corinth, remember he was just talking about the church in Macedonia that have that beautiful giving grace. He wanted to make sure that the church in Corinth, now that's how important it is, that it's not something you could just say, well, some people should be able to give and some other people, if they don't like, it's okay. No, Paul was saying that I want to make sure that in addition to every other thing, every other virtue that you have, that you also excel in this virtue of giving. But when he did that, he quickly wanted them to understand that he wasn't compelling them. Paul was a towering figure. So it was easy for him to say that, and everybody would just say, okay, since it's Apostle Paul talking, let's give. Paul never wanted them to give because they feel compelled to do so. And that is why in verse 8, he says, "I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love." I want to test the sincerity of your love. And that's what matters when we give. It's easy for a pastor to stand here and say certain things and we out of, you know, pastor has spoken, let us give. Please, let's be careful about that because you want to receive the blessings of giving. Nobody shall miss their blessings in the name of Jesus. Let nobody cajole you into giving. If it is by cajoling, please keep your money because it will just be an exercise in futility. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. That's why the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." So everything that is done in love has a reward that eyes have not seen. Everything that's done in love has, and you better believe it, because when the Bible says eyes have not seen, you know, some people try to imagine it. Just take it that nobody has seen the dimension of blessings that comes to people that love God, and that shall be you in the name of Jesus. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. And he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." That scripture ministered to me yesterday when I was looking at this. It says, beware of covetousness. And you read that scripture, you ask yourself, where was the man covetous? You know, when we hear about covetousness, you think about taking what doesn't belong to you, taking what's another person's, another man's, another woman's thing. Now, look at the scripture. In here, the parable, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." It was his ground. He sowed the seed. And he thought within himself, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." Good thoughts. Good planning. But he missed something there. Remember, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power. Somebody may say, well, he was just planning. He was still going to thank God. He never said, thank you, Jesus, for that bountiful harvest. But let's continue. And he said to himself, this will I do. I'll pull down my barn and build a greater barn. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Still good thoughts and good planning. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And this is where he missed it again. Because he can see that all his planning was for his flesh, for the soul. There was never a place where he gave glory to God for all that has happened. Praise the Lord. And any man that lives for the flesh, any man, any woman that lives for the flesh, is living dangerously. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Job chapter 32 verse 8, there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Our only connectivity with God is our spirit. You cannot live a life that feeds your flesh and starve your spirit. That's a life, a dangerous life, a dangerous living. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 7, the spirit of man is the candle of God. The spirit of man is the candle of, if God wants to show you mercy, he connects with you by your spirit. God wants to open your eyes to revelation, he connects to you by your spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. So paying a disproportionate attention, paying undue attention to your body and starving your spirit, starves your connection with God, and that shall not be you in the name of Jesus. Now, here's God's response. God said to him, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see where the word covetousness came in. So today, I believe somebody will understand what that word means. When you're covetous, it is not just when you're looking for and taking what belongs to another man. It's also when you're not giving God the glory that is due to him. There is no other reason why God says, beware of covetousness. It's just because the man has not given God the glory that belongs to him. It might not even be material things. It may just be saying, Father, thank you. In all that scripture that we read, there was no acknowledgement of the person that gave him that word. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. So no matter how beautiful our plans are, if God is not given a center stage in that plan, it is doomed for failure. No matter how lovely our plans are, if God does not come first, failure is certain. Well, that shall not be your story in the name of Jesus. Everything we truly desire to do towards kingdom advancement, God is committed to make happen with our hands. 1 Kings 8:17-18. And it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it is in your heart to build a house unto my name, thou doest well. This is why the Bible admonishes us to guard our heart, because God looks at the heart of men. You may not have done it. The fact that is already in your heart, God already begins to encourage you. God begins to, you know, give you the resources that you need to get it happen. In 1 Corinthians 29:3-7, we see David, again, a man that is given to, you know, given in the house of the Lord. He says, in my devotion to the temple of the God, of the Lord, I now give my personal treasure of gold and silver for the temple of the Lord, over and above everything I provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? So David led by example. He gave over and above. And after he did that, he now called on to people to come and follow his example. And you read that scripture, you see that a lot of people, in fact, everybody gave. Why? Because the leader led by example, and people saw it and followed through. In verse 9 of that scripture, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. And all these things means all these things. It means everything else. Now, some of these scriptures, like Matthew 6:33, you've seen testimonies of people when they do apply to their life, they end the testimonies by Matthew 6:33 really works. You shall be the next to testify in the name of Jesus. What are the demands for guaranteed response to seed sown? One, we must sow honorable seeds and not leftovers. God is not a God of leftovers. It is despising to give God the remainder of your things. Like that rich man, I don't know at what point he wanted to acknowledge God in the success that he has. It should be the first thing. But the Lord give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Malachi 1:6-9, a son honors his father and a slave his master. If I'm your father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And the Lord answered, by offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame and diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would they be pleased with you? Will they accept it from you? Says the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. That scripture explains itself. We honor men sometimes above the God of heaven. But that is not what God expects from us. God says, give me the first place and I will make your life a beauty. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of thy increase. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. 1 Samuel 2:20. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that my house, the house of thy father, shall walk before me forever. And now the Lord said, be it far from me, for they that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me, I would lightly esteem. You shall not be a despiser of God in the name of Jesus. Number two, we must sow tirelessly. That's the second thing that it demands. We must sow tirelessly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we fail not. If we stop what God is using to count our blessings for us, we would stop halfway. We would have stopped halfway before our blessing comes. That shall not be you in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 3. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck off that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break and a time to tile to build up. So everything that you're doing, the season of blessing, the season of reward, is coming. We see so many times our Father in the faith will declare, everyone that have been working tirelessly, your blessing will come to you. Those are the seasons. But if you haven't worked, then that word is spoken to others. It doesn't apply to you. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. We must continue to water our seeds with thanksgiving. Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall see violence. As I conclude tonight, I want to remind us of what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to God may just be all you need to do to make sure that you don't fall into the wrath of God. He calls that man, he said that man is covetous. Not because he took anything that belongs to anyone. In fact, he took something that belongs to God. So our eyes are open to what it means when God says you're covetous. Let us learn to give him thanks. Hallelujah. For us to conclude tonight, I just want to ask that if there is anyone here, because we've seen the fundamentals of kingdom wealth, you can see that the first journey towards our fundamentals is to give your life to Jesus. Someone here, you haven't had that opportunity. Here is God calling you, and you're worshiping online. you say, I haven't had that opportunity, God is saying, come to me. If you're such a person, I'll just say a short prayer and I close. If you're such a person, indicate by raising up your hands and I'll pray with you. Father, say this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you just as I am. Oh Lord, acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge the work that Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary on my behalf. Father, cleanse me from my sin. Remove my name from the book of death and write my name in the book of life. Father, from today, I call you Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.